Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to, this is Randy Goldberg, welcome to the Science of Light show, and yeah, we got summer going on, it's nice, there's a, we're in the middle of a Mercury retrograde, it's no big deal, it happens three times a year, and there's the time to finish unfinished projects, to go back and review and reflect and slow down a little bit. And sometimes people get frustrated because they don't want to take that advice of slowing down. And that's where sometimes there's Mercury rules communication, and some of the communication devices like computers, phones, different things sometimes have tattoos and different things. But yeah, this is a great summer, and we've come through the cardinal crosses and eclipses of April and May, had a lot of relationship energy, and Mars got to finally move forward after all that retrograde energy. We still have quite a few planets retrograde. This whole first half of this year has been a major theme, but Neptune is retrograde, and also Saturn and Pluto are retrograde. And so there's still planning and getting our ducks in a row, and yeah, it's just things are beginning to move forward now that Mars is out of its retrograde, and summer solstice is coming up. The Mercury retrograde goes from June 7th to July 1st, late 1st, July 2nd. On the 21st, of course, is solstice, first day of summer, longest day of the year, and then goes into Cancer. And, it's a special time of year, and it'll be a fun summer, and winds of change are in the air with the gridlock still going on, and the energies crashing between Pluto and Uranus and Saturn opposition. They're all looser orbs at this time, so there's a lot of planets and water signs also. So another theme of this year is just a lack of rationality, and the world is seems to be going crazy really fast, and not a lot of people in their right mind, as it were. But there's a lot of themes of relationships going on this month, just like there were last month. And Venus is going to be going into Gemini. It's been in central Taurus and just enjoying the comfort of things that feel good and taste good and the beauty of the world. And Gemini will be curious and flirtatious and playful, and the great energies for the solstice. It rolls in. And, I'm curious how people's experiences have been. Spring was intense, and now things are starting to fall into place a little bit better. And feel free to press 1 to get into the caller queue with any questions or comments, or if you want a reading. And or type something in the chat room. Remind people that I do private consultations. It's $80 for an hour reading. It can be done by phone, Skype, in person if you're in the D.C. area. And we look at things from both the Western lens and the Indian Vedic perspective, and you get to compare the different charts and look at, see how the archetypes flow in your psyche, and look at how the transits, the upcoming times are, and particularly in the Indian and the Vedic system, there's planetary periods that rule different times of your life. Those are referred to as dasha periods, and so that's really informative to find out about different chapters and what changes are on the horizon and when things are likely to come to fruition. The Western astrology tends to be a bit more psychological, and the Indian is a bit more karmic and predictive. It's very accurate, predictive kind of work. And so anyway, if you wanted to make an appointment, you know, my email address and phone number and everything is there on my website, randygoldberg.org or astrodc.com. And want to remind listeners, if you're in the chat, feel free to type any questions or comments or press 1 to get into the call. Question or comment, or if you want a reading to talk, feel free to press 1. And I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about meditation. Something that's important to stay grounded in these intense times and times of change. And one of the reasons that one meditates is to connect to your soul. There's a saying that we're traveling on a train and we get so caught up looking out the window that we forget about our destination. That's a great metaphor that life presents us with so many busy activities. And we get engrossed in this colorful world and forget where life is going and what the soul tract is and what's important. And so meditation is about reconnecting, remembering who you are, remembering yourself, your deeper I feeling, that part of you that witnesses everything, the unchanging eternal part. You know, we have our emotions and our body and our mind that are always changing, and flittering through so many dynamic, constant river of change. And also part of meditation is expanding your mind, taking something very subtle and elevated to contemplate, to ideate, to let your mind, the mind tends to take the shape of that, what it's thinking about. And so if you're constantly filled up with garbage and, you know, all the ads, and our garbage can of the mind needs to be emptied from time to time to get clear, to de-stress. And it's like the waves of a pond when it's very windy and choppy. You can't see to the bottom, but when it's quiet and smooth, you can see all the way down. And so similarly, the waves of our mind, when we're agitated, those waves are very high and quick. And as we slow down, the mental waves begin to straighten out, it becomes a less high of a curve, and that systoltic movement, that up and down curve, is a great metaphor for all of life. There's nothing moves in a straight line, and part of the definition of the spiritual path is proto-psycho-spiritual movement. The proto part means that you're tending towards a certain direction, but it's not going to be straight in one direction. And thank goodness, because, you know, then we'd be too rigid and too one, you know, actually when you're too strict to some degree, you know, there's a chance of becoming too one-sided. And so as long as, you know, energy in our life, if follows our intention, and if we have the intention of moving in the path of learning, in the path of service, in the path of growing and developing and opening your heart and mind and compassion, seeing how we can help others and the earth and animals and that kind of thing, then it's natural that there's a flow that you get into. And so meditation is about connecting to that flow also. And nature is naturally in the flow. And that's why when you spend time in nature, you return to a sense of peace and calm and balance. And that's one of the nice meditations that there is out there. There's thousands of ways to meditate, and there's no one way or right way or anything like that. Meditation is an experiment that one does within one's being, and one does that experiment to see what works for you, and it'll be different for different people, but so breath is something that all meditations will have in common. And there's certain Buddhist traditions where they, you know, even for the advanced meditators, there's not much more instruction besides be aware of your breath, witness your breath, watch your breath as it streams in and out of your nostrils. Place your attention on your breath. Be conscious of your breathing. And, so all meditations will have breath as an aspect component. And as you start to become aware of your breath and to allow for deeper, fuller breath, then they naturally start to, the rhythm starts to slow down and it gets deeper and fuller. And you begin to do diaphragm breathing from your belly. And to fill up your lungs to the top corners that don't usually get used. And but as I was mentioning, nature, so another aspect of meditation can be using your power of imagination and visualizing. Different visualizations can be there in meditation. And so one nice meditation after you've connected with your breath and began to do some breathing from your belly, then, you know, picking some spot to visualize where you remember how you felt, that the way you feel when you're immersed in nature, the peace and the calmness and the joy and sense of balance one feels in a beautiful nature spot. And so that's using visualization. And then also with the breath, there's a certain rhythm, since breath is always rhythmic. It's always breathing in and then breathing out. And so meditation is not just spacing out. It's taking a focus and allowing your mind to come together, practicing concentration, which is an exercise to develop your mind to be able to penetrate the deeper layers of your mind. And the idea is to bring the mind to one pointed, diamond-sharp focus and be able to, that laser-sharp strength of mind, to go down into the deeper layers of the mind where our unconscious and superconscious and the collective unconscious and the whole realm of inner space. And in the West, we've been mostly focused on conquering the and controlling the outer world, exploring the outer world. And in the East, for thousands of years, they've been doing the opposite, exploring and developing powerful technologies and techniques for the inner world. And mantra is one of those, having a word to focus on and focusing on the meaning of those words. Usually they're very expansive words having to do with being one with the universe and being connected to that universal source of love and light and life. And then one says it in a rhythm connected with one's breath. If that rhythm is already there with one's breathing. Being in the rhythm helps with that flow. And, you know, there's a kind of parallelism one gets from being, you begin to resonate, to vibrate with that which the mind comes in contact with. So as it takes this object of infinite consciousness itself, that object has no limitation. Each object is defined by its beginning and end and its shape. But pure consciousness without objects, without limits, is, you know, the most expansive state that our mind returns to its original source and original cosmic stuff, the higher self, the whole the source of being, coming one with what is, and making that connection. So you practice the words in Sanskrit for meditation is sadhana, which means effort. So you're doing putting in the effort to polish the mirror so that it can reflect the rays of the moon or the sun. And Buddhist parlance, they talk about doing a sitting practice. And it's not like you sit down and just go into cosmic bliss. It's the mind moving in a thousand directions, mile a minute. And so it's helpful to give the mind some focus. So you can start with the breath, and then you can do different visualizations with your energy body is another form of visualization, where you visualize your chakras and you can do some work strengthening and purifying those. And as I mentioned, visualizing nature, a lot of different guided imagery type of meditations. And then if one wants to focus, another tool that can be helpful is the mantra. And often they're in Sanskrit, and they developed the language. The yogis would sit in caves and see how different sounds have different effects on the mind, and so they developed certain words and certain mantras that help the mind to calm down and to expand and to get into this cosmic flow. And so there's a, you can get a personal mantra from a meditation teacher for your vibration. There's universal ones that are fine for everyone to practice with and use. And so I'll just teach you one right now, and you can do a bit of meditation on your own with any of these things I've talked about. And this universal mantra is Baba Nam Kevalam. It's three words, B-A-B-A, and then Nam, N-A-M, Nam, like name, except without the E, and then Kevalam, K-E-V-A-L-A-M, Baba Nam Kevalam. So as you say the mantra, and it has more power when you say it internally in your mind, it's more subtly resonating when you don't say it out loud. You say it internally with your inner voice. And it's nice to have outer suggestion and to listen to tapes and different things that help reinforce it. But as you practice daily, you want to also do it where it's, you're just listening to your inner voice as you do the visualization or repeat a mantra or whatever, and that strengthens the mind, it strengthens your will and your focus. And so I want to thank you for tuning in, and what I'll do is play a bit of music with this Baba Nam Kevalam mantra. And after the music ends, I'll be stopping the show, but continue on your own for a couple minutes as you like, and then you can just keep repeating with your inner voice, the Baba Nam Kevalam, which means that love is all there is, that everything is part of the one universal cosmic energy. And so think of the meaning. And you can say the mantra in the rhythm with your breath. So you could say like Baba Nam as you breathe in, and Kevalam as you breathe out. And the mind will wander. And meditation is just bringing the mind back gently. You don't get angry or upset. But you know, the mind will always jump to the next object that it's going to think about. That's why using a tool like a mantra can be valuable, to give it some place to go and to move and to have a focus on. But as you do your sadhana, you do your effort, do your sitting practice, it's really just learning to hold your concentration for longer and longer periods as you practice. But the mind will always wander, and so it's important not to get upset and frustrated. You just remember, oh, now, you know, you might hear inner or outer sounds. Outer sounds would be the phone ringing or something that distracts you. So allow that to bring you back to whatever you're focusing on, whether it's the breath or whatever. And then inner sounds would be the different thoughts and voices in your head. And so let them all just be tools that help remind you, yeah, I want to come back to focusing on the focus of this meditation. And thanks for tuning in this evening, and I'll be back next week. So take care, and there'll be some chanting, and so you can go ahead and meditate along with this Baba Nam Kevalam chant. It's called the Kirtan. And it's available at innersong.com. And, yeah.